from the Christian Classics Ethereal Library on the web at www.ccel.org. The Little Flowers of St. Francis of Assisi. In the first English translation revised and amended by Dom Roger Huddleston, with an introduction by Arthur Livingston, The Heritage Press, New York. Contents. Introduction. Bibliographical note. Part 1. 1. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified Savior, and Mary, his Virgin Mother, in this book are contained certain little flowers, to wit, miracles and pious examples of the glorious servant of Christ, St. Francis, and of some of his holy companions, to the glory and praise of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2. Of Brother Bernard of Quintavale, the first companion of St. Francis. 3. How St. Francis, having allowed an evil thought to arise in his mind against Brother Bernard, ordered him to place his foot 3 times upon his neck and his mouth. 4. How the angel of God put a question to Brother Elias, guardian of Val di Spoleto, and how, when Brother Elias answered proudly, the angel departed from him and took the road to San Giacomo, where he met Brother Bernard and told him what follows. 5. How the holy Brother Bernard of Assisi was sent by St. Francis to Bologna, and how he founded a convent there. 6. How St. Francis, when about to die, blessed the holy Brother Bernard, naming him vicar of the order. 7. How St. Francis passed the time of Lent in an island on the lake of Perugia, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, eating no more than half of 1 loaf. 8. How St. Francis, walking one day with Brother Leo, explained to him what things are perfect joy. 9. How St. Francis would teach Brother Leo what to answer, and how the latter could never say aught but the contrary to what St. Francis wished. 10. How Brother Maceo told St. Francis, as in jest, that the world was gone after him, and how St. Francis answered that it was indeed so, to the confusion of the world, and through the grace of God. 11. How St. Francis made Brother Maceo turn around and around like a child, and then to go to Siena. 12. How St. Francis gave to Brother Maceo the office of porter, of almoner, and of cook, and how at the request of the other brethren he afterward took these duties from him. 13. How St. Francis and Brother Maceo placed the bread they had begged upon a stone near a fountain, and how St. Francis praised the virtue of holy poverty, praying St. Peter and St. Paul to make him love holy poverty greatly, and how St. Peter and St. Paul appeared to him. 14. How the Lord appeared to St. Francis and to his brethren as he was speaking with them. 15. How St. Clare ate with St. Francis and his companions at St. Mary of the Angels. 16. How St. Francis, having been told by St. Clare and the holy brother Sylvester that he should preach and convert many to the faith, founded the third order, preached to the birds, and reduced to silence the swallows. 17. How a little child who had entered the order saw St. Francis in prayer one night, and saw also the Savior, the Virgin Mary, and many other saints talk with him. 18. Of the wonderful chapter held by St. Francis at St. Mary of the Angels, at which more than 5,000 friars were present. 19. How the vine of the priest of Riti, whose house St. Francis entered to pray, was trampled underfoot by the great numbers who came to see him, and how it yet produced a greater quantity of wine than usual, as St. Francis had promised, and how the Lord revealed to the saints that heaven would be his portion when he left this world. 20. of a beautiful vision which appeared to a young man who hated the habits of St. Francis so greatly that he was on the point of leaving the order. 21. Of the most holy miracle of St. Francis in taming the fierce wolf of Gubbio. 22. How St. Francis tamed the wild doves. 23. How St. Francis delivered the brother who, being in sin, had fallen into the power of the devil. 24. How St. Francis converted to the faith the Sultan of Babylon. 25. How St. Francis healed miraculously a leper, both in his body and in his soul, and what the soul said to him on going up to heaven. 26. How St. Francis converted certain robbers and assassins who became friars, and of a wonderful vision which appeared to one of them, who was a most holy brother. 27. How at Bologna St. Francis converted two scholars who became friars, and how he delivered one of them from a great temptation. 28. Of an ecstasy which came to Brother Bernard, and how he remained from matins until noon in a state of rapture. 29. How the devil often appeared to Brother Rufino in the form of a crucifix, telling him that all the good he did was of no avail, seeing he was not of the number of the elect of God, which being revealed to St. Francis, he made known to Brother Rufino the error into which he had fallen. 30. Of the beautiful sermon which St. Francis and Brother Rufino preached at Assisi. 31. How St. Francis was acquainted with the secrets of the consciences of all his brethren. 32. How Brother Maceo obtained from Christ the virtue of humility. 33. How St. Clare, by order of the Pope, blessed the bread which was on the table, and how on each loaf appeared the sign of the Holy Cross. 34. How St. Louis, King of France, went in person in a pilgrim's guard to visit the Holy Brother Giles. 35. How St. Clare, being ill, was miraculously carried on Christmas night to the Church of St. Francis, where she assisted at the office. 36. How St. Francis explained to Brother Leo a beautiful vision that he had seen. 37. How Jesus Christ, the Blessed One, at the prayer of St. Francis, converted a rich nobleman who had made great offers to St. Francis and inspired him with a wish to become a religious. 38. How it was revealed to St. Francis that Brother Elias was damned and was to die out of the order, and how at the desire of the said brother he prayed to Christ for him, and how his prayer was granted. 39. Of the wonderful discourse which St. Anthony of Padua, a friar minor, made in the consistory. 40. Of the miracle which God performed when St. Anthony, being at Rimini, preached to the fishes of the sea. 41. How the venerable brother Simon delivered a brother from a great temptation, on account of which he was on the point of leaving the order. 42. Of several wonderful miracles which the Lord performed through the means of Brother Peter of Monticello and Brother Conrad of Ofida. How Brother Bentivoglio carried a leper 15 miles in a very short time. How St. Michael spoke to another brother, and how the Virgin Mary appeared to Brother Conrad and placed her divine son in his arms. 43. How Brother Conrad of Ofida converted a young brother who was a stumbling block to the other brothers, and how after death his soul appeared to Brother Conrad, begging him to pray for him, and how through his prayers he was delivered from the great pains of purgatory. 44. How the Mother of Christ and St. John the Evangelist appeared to Brother Conrad and told him who had suffered the greatest sorrow at the Passion of Christ. 45. Of the conversion, life, miracles, and death of the Holy Brother John della Pina. 46. How Brother Pacifico, being in prayer, saw the soul of Brother Eumiel his brother in the flesh, go up to heaven. 47. Of a holy brother to whom the mother of Christ appeared when he was ill and brought him 3 vases of healing ointments. 48. How Brother James della Mesa saw in a vision all the friars minor in the world in the form of a tree, and how the virtues and merits and the vices of all were made known to him. 49. How Christ appeared to Brother John of Alvernia. 50. How Brother John of Alvernia, when saying Mass on the Day of All Souls, saw many souls liberated from purgatory. 51. Of the holy Brother James of Falerone, and how after his death he appeared to Brother John of Alvernia. 52. Of the vision of Brother John of Alvernia, by which he became acquainted with all the order of the Holy Trinity. 53. How while he was saying Mass, Brother John of Alvernia fell down as if he had been dead. 54. How a holy friar, having read in the legend of St. Francis of the secret words spoken to him by the seraph, prayed so earnestly to God that St. Francis revealed them to him. 55. How St. Francis appeared after his death to Brother John of Alvernia while he was in prayer. 56. Of a holy friar who saw a wonderful vision of a companion who was dead. 57. How a noble knight who was devout to St. Francis was assured of his death and of the sacred stigmata. 58. How Pope Gregory IX, who had doubted of the stigmata of St. Francis, was assured of their truth. Part 2. The Life of Brother Juniper. 1. How Brother Juniper cut off the foot of a pig to give it to a sick brother. 2. An instance of Brother Juniper's great power against the devil. 3. How by the contrivance of the devil, Brother Juniper was condemned to the gallows. 4. How Brother Juniper gave all that he had to the poor for the love of God. 5. How Brother Juniper took certain little bells from the altar and gave them away for the love of God. 6. How Brother Juniper kept silence for 6 months. 7. His remedy for temptations of the flesh. 8. How Brother Juniper made himself contemptible for the love of God. 9. How Brother Juniper, in order to be despised, played at seesaw. 10. How Brother Juniper once cooked for the brethren enough to last for a fortnight. 11. How Brother Juniper went one day to Assisi for his own confusion. 12. How Brother Juniper fell into an ecstasy during the celebration of Mass. 14. Of the hand which Brother Juniper saw in the air. 15. How St. Francis commanded Brother Leo to wash the stone. Part 3. The Life of the Blessed Brother Giles, Companion of St. Francis. 1. How Brother Giles with 3 companions was received into the order of Friars Minor. 2. How Brother Giles went to St. James the Great. 3. Of Brother Giles' manner of life when he went to the Holy Sepulchre. 4. How Brother Giles praised obedience more than prayer. 5. How Brother Giles lived by the labor of his hands. 6. How Brother Giles was miraculously assisted in a great necessity when, by reason of a heavy fall of snow, he was hindered from going out to quest. 7. Of the day of the holy Brother Giles' death. 8. How a holy man, being in prayer, saw the soul of Brother Giles pass to eternal life. 9. How by the merits of Brother Giles, the soul of the friend of a friar preacher was delivered from the pains of purgatory. 10. How God gave special graces to Brother Giles and of the year of his death. Part 4. The chapters of certain instructions and notable sayings of Brother Giles. 1. Of vices and virtues. 2. Of faith. 3. Of holy humility. 4. Of the holy fear of God. 5. Of holy patience. 6. Of sloth. 7. Of the contempt of temporal things. 8. Of holy chastity. 9. Of temptations. 10. Of holy penance. 11. Of holy prayer. 12. Of holy spiritual prudence. 13. Of knowledge useful and useless. 14. Of good and evil speaking. 15. Of holy perseverance. 16 of true religious life, 17 of holy obedience, 18 of the remembrance of death. Introduction 1. The first English translation of the Fioretti di Santo Francesco di Assisi, that of Lady Georgina Fullerton, appeared in the year 1864, and the first American translation, that by Abbey Langdon Alger, was published in the year 1887. This is a good 4 centuries after the Princeps edition of the Fioretti, Vincentia, 1476, and a half century after the standard Italian edition by Antonio Cesari, Verona, 1822. The tardiness of Anglo-Saxon recognition of this, one of the raciest, most spirited, and most beloved of the Italian classics, is not to be grasped out of hand. Religious considerations, obvious as they might seem, could not account for the indifference of the fathers of English printing. Once published, moreover, the Fioretti made their way in their own right. The present century has witnessed numerous other translations in England and America, and dozens of reprinting in America alone. I suspect rather that it was a strange case of editorial oversight, a nugget of gold that was there for anyone, yet was for centuries overlooked. The title may have something to do with it. The phrase, Little Flowers, has in English a vague aroma of sentiment and propaganda, and by virtue of the diminutive, it has acquired a similar flavor even in Italian. Suppose this collection of tales had been called the Franciscan Anthology, a title at once more exact and more majestic in its associations. Or suppose, somewhat facetiously, but still within its spirit, it had been known as the Selected Miracles of St. Francis and His Brethren. The story as regards the English-speaking world might, I believe, have been different. I have called the Fioretti tales, and tales they are, fixed upon St. Francis and his earliest disciples, in the way in which legend accumulates about any celebrated character in history. But in this case, and in contrast with the situation that usually prevails in folklore, the stories have a certain authority as history. 100 years of Franciscan scholarship enable us even to evaluate the authenticity of the Little Flowers. St. Francis died in 1226, but his amanuensis, secretary and confessor, his beloved brother Leo, who was quoted extensively in the Little Flowers, lived on till the year 1271. The friar, Giovanni Dalla Pina, one of the early missionaries of the order in Germany, and another of the sources, did not die until 1274. In the year 1257 had come the great crisis in the Franciscan order, whereby the church, frowning darkly on an orgy of religious revival, which enabled humble, ignorant, and sometimes stuttering peasants to talk with God in his three persons, sicut amicus cum amico, had given a more ecclesiastical temper to the Franciscan rule and aimed at representing mystical and miracle-working activity among the friars. This debate was conducted bitterly and with some show of force. John of Parma, leader of the zealots, and Saint Bonaventura's predecessor as general of the order, stood at one moment, 1257, condemned to imprisonment for life. Already two conceptions of Saint Francis himself were current in the order, and his biography was being recounted in different ways. Eventually, St. Bonaventura was to write the official biography and to make it more official still by burning, so far as he could lay hands on them, all conflicting accounts of the saint's life. Meantime, one thing is clear. The party of good sense was having many harsh things to say of those extremists who courted public ridicule for the benefit of their souls by preaching naked in the church pulpits, changing capons, drumsticks into nectarines, and doing other things disquieting to a theology which liked miracles in the principle, but was inhospitable toward them in the fact. The harsh words hurt. They hurt directly men who had seen God walking in person among the hills of Umbria and believed